So tonight, we're going to be in the book of Jonah. Jonah is an Old Testament book. I keep you guys in mind when I speak on Wednesday nights because I don't know, some of you guys may have been in church your whole life. Some of you guys may be the first time you've been in church. So I want to bring a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament, a little bit of all the Word, and help you guys tie it in as y'all are on this journey. But in doing that, it helps me tie it in, and it helps our congregation tie it in. I might hit a story from, you know, last time I spoke is Mary and Martha. We're jumping to Jonah now. I mean, he's an Old Testament prophet. It's one of the more obscure books in the Bible. It's in between Obadiah and Micah. So those are not going to help you either. So it's fine to use the table of contents in the front of your Bible. That is not a problem. Don't think you can't use that. It's in there for a reason. So, if you find the book of Jonah, it's only four chapters, and I'm going to read a good bit of it. We're going to talk about a good bit of it, and just go from there. As always, when I'm teaching, if something's in your heart, God's put something in your heart, what we're talking about, let me know. I want this to be a collective study tonight. I'm just going to kind of present it, and we'll go from there. So, Jonah, like I said, an Old Testament prophet. The Old Testament has different sections in it. This is a section where there's a lot of prophets. You know, earlier there's sections where there's a lot of judges and deliverers and things like that. This section of the Bible, there's a lot of prophets that are you know, bringing good news and different things like that. Jonah is one of the prophets in the Old Testament. So I'm trying to figure out how much I want to read, how much we're just going to paraphrase. I'm just going to jump in. Verse 1, chapter 1, and let you guys know. Now, listen, most of you know Jonah and the whale. Okay, now I will say that. This is a very common story. A lot of people use it. The world even references it. It's a common known thing, Jonah and the whale. I want to preface this by saying that I believe that Jonah was a real person and that there really was a whale. Okay, it's sometimes people are like, oh, this is just a metaphor for something. You will see later that Jesus compares himself to Jonah, and he speaks about Jonah and Jonah's ordeal. Jesus is not going to speak about an actual ordeal that didn't really happen. So to me, Jesus solidifies the fact that this really happened. Okay? This was a real thing. There really was a giant fish that we'll read that swallows a man whole and takes him somewhere. We believe that. You have to decide whether you believe this book or not. And if you believe this book, then you have to believe it in its entirety. If you only believe parts of this book, then you're going to have a lot of problems. Okay? Now, there are things in the New Testament. It talks about seeing visions of this and seeing visions of that. And those things can be debated as to whether or not it was something in a spiritual realm. Did it physically happen? I don't have any great examples for you. But there are places that's fine. But there are also places. Noah really built an ark. Okay? That's not just a kid's story. No, he really built an ark, and it's a deep, powerful story about it. Jonah really got swallowed by a whale. As crazy as it sounds, it's one of the most crazy stories in the Bible. It really happened. So if you believe one part of it, you've got to believe all of it, or it doesn't work. Okay, so just I'll throw that out there, lob that out there in my deep revelation that we have on Jonah. It really happened. So, and let's just start in chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own god, little g on that god. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your god. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making this trouble come on us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? And he answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. This terrified them, and they asked, What have you done? They knew he was running from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, and they asked him, What should we do to make the sea calm down for us? And Jonah tells them in verse 12, Pick me up, throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault. This great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. In verse 17, it says, But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. All right, quick recap. So God's called this person, this prophet, to go to Nineveh, preach against it, tell them, hey, you guys are really messing up. God is, you know, wrath's about to come down if y'all don't repent. I need to let you guys know this. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to tell you God's real, and he wants you to stop doing what you're doing. The problem is the people of Nineveh were super evil. They were super violent. They were known for killing Jews, and they were not good people. So he had naturally did not like them. So Jonah did not want them to meet God. He did not want them to have salvation. He wanted them to be punished. He wanted God to kill them. So when God tells them to go, hey, go tell these people this so that they can be saved, he doesn't want to do it. There are things in our life, there are tasks in our life that God is going to call you to do that you don't want to do. Okay? He doesn't always call us to do this fun, great, wonderful thing. Hey, let's go to the bouncy house and jump around all day. That's what I want you to do in life. No, a lot of times it's a difficult thing. It's a hard thing. And sometimes it's a thing that we in our heart and our spirit don't want to do. You know, God makes you want you to minister to somebody that has hurt you or that you just don't see eye to eye with or something like that. And we're just, I just don't want to do that. God's not always going to call you to do something that you just want to do. Okay, there has to be a lot of times an intersection of wills. And if your will is always just going right along with God, then there's never that intersection. There's never that choice. Sometimes he wants you to have that choice to make, and obviously he wants you to choose him. Jonah has this choice. Intersection of wills. God wants one thing. Jonah wants another. What does Jonah do? He says, I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm getting on the ship. I'm gone. So, what does God do? He sends a storm. The Lord sent the storm. God will send storms if you are on the wrong vessel going in the wrong direction. Now listen, you got to be careful with this, okay? Because this has been misused a little bit. God does not give people cancer. God does not kill people and things like that. That's not his nature. But what he can do and will do, and is very clear in the world, is he will cause you turbulence. He will cause wind. He will cause rain. He will disturb your path to a certain degree. So it's a fine line we have to walk. You know, we're not, well, God gave you cancer because you did this. No, no, God doesn't work that way. That's not how he works. Did God give you a flat tire maybe so you would have to be pulled off on the side of the road and then some guy with a wrecker truck would come up and he needed to hear about Jesus? Yeah, he'll do that. Understand the difference, and that's something that you kind of got to understand. I believe that God causes turbulence. There's too many places in the Word of God that it says God sent this, God did this, and this is one of them that he says God sent this storm. He sent the storm. Later on, he'll send a worm to eat a plant. He sends these things to shake us up, to get our attention. God, more than your comfort, wants your attention. He is more concerned with with your posture to Him than He is to how comfortable you are. Okay? Because we think God wants to make us comfortable all the time. If you can be comfortable, He's cool with that. But if you're going to be comfortable and out of His will, He doesn't want you to be comfortable. Okay? So, that's what's going on here. Turbulence, not sickness or death. He wants your attention. He will get it. God allows pressure to move us in the right direction. I'm a big science guru because I know a lot about science. I'm just kidding. Isaac had a science test today, and I was kidding this morning about how much I knew about science. But I do know you have this inertia thing, and if you've got inertia, it's going one direction. It takes force to stop it and move it the other direction. Okay? So if you're headed off in the wrong direction, don't think God won't use a little bit of force, a little bit of pressure to nudge you back in the right. Sometimes He may jerk you real fast, just depending on what He needs to do, how fast He needs to do it. But He will get you going in the right direction. That's what's going on right here. That's what He's doing to Jonah. Yeah, absolutely.
Every intervention just is driven by His love. Love is what's intervening.
A father's love. That's absolutely right. It's a father's love that he wants that. No doubt. Let's see. So we've got that. One thing I found interesting that I wanted to bring out. Hang on. Let's talk about this too before I move on. Is God pursuing you? He is always pursuing you, but He pursues us in different ways. Sometimes it's an actual pursuit. Sometimes He's right on your tail. It's like you're running, and He's like right there. It's like, I'm going to run and get on this ship. I'm going to, where was he going? Joppa. He was going to Joppa. He was getting out of town. I'm sorry. I always think of the VeggieTales version of this. Have y'all seen it? It is fantastic. Sorry, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You don't have kids. But I apologize. But anyway. In this scenario, God is pursuing him. He is right there with him. He is right there with him. But there's a story in the New Testament that a lot of you know, you should probably know, is about the prodigal son. It's a little different pursuit. God still loved the prodigal son. God still cared about the prodigal son. But God let the prodigal son create an environment that made him come back. So there's different types of pursuit. So don't think God's always just going to be on your heels. You might get out in the desert and like, hey, where's God? Well, maybe He's not right here right now, but there may be a cloud coming over the hill there that's going to run you back to Him. He operates. Don't put God in a box. Don't think God's always going to do something one way every time. God's always going to send a storm to push me back. No. He may let you run out of money and run out of this and run out of that and be feeding with the pigs is what happened to the prodigal son, and eventually say, hey, I need to get back to God. He knows how you're going to react. He knows what's going to happen. So does God pursue you? Yes, but He does it in different ways. Okay? He may be pursuing you in different ways at the same time. Okay? Don't put God in a box. Don't think He'll always do something, but one thing He will always do is love and want you back with Him. So how He does that may be different. All right, in verse 16, I wanted to bring this out. I thought it was important. It says, after they threw Jonah into the water. Now, these men who originally were praying to their gods, which were not real gods, they're just whatever idols that they felt to worship, especially being sailors, they had all sorts of them. But after doing all that, nothing happened. They see a real true God. They see the God of heaven, is how Jonah describes Him. And they instantly believe in Him. It says in verse 16, it says, at this the men greatly feared the Lord. This was after they threw Him in the sea and the sea calmed. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to Him. Jonah affected these guys. He was completely out of God. This is interesting to me. He was completely out of God's will. He was not where God wanted him. God was in the midst of driving him back to where he needed to be. even out of God's perfect will, this man of God was driving people to God. He could not help it. It was who he was. He was anointed for something. That anointing that he had had, that placement that God had put on his life, and that mantle that he had on him was, you're gonna preach the good news. You're going to preach about me. Of course, Jesus hadn't happened yet, so it's a little bit different what he was telling them. He's talking about the sovereign God and everything, and a Savior to come one day. But even when he was not doing what God called him to do, he couldn't be a help but be a son of the King. Everywhere he went, whatever he did, it was like, man, there's something different about this guy. Even completely out of God's purpose, will, however you want to say it, people were still being drawn to God. We should be there, guys, because I promise you, you're not always going to be on the straight and narrow, perfect path, and you're always going to, I pray that you are, but reality is that we're humans, and we mess up, and we make mistakes, so we're going to be off the path sometime, but even in that, we should be driving people to God. What we believe and who we are and how we walk, and it should always continually be pointing back to Him, even when we're kind of in the wrong place. Okay? You know, you should always be what God's called you to be. And if you are, when you are a true son and daughter of the King, you can't hide it. So, one little thing we're going to throw in here too is I always like when we're talking in the Old Testament is we have to tie in, you don't have to, but there's so many wonderful places to tie in Jesus. Because everything in the Old Testament, guys, is leading us to the New Testament, which is leading us to Jesus, which is leading us to us being in this great relationship with God. That's what it's all about. There's a few things in the story of Jonah that are these mirrors of Christ and Jesus and what happens. The first one, if you notice, and if you, you know, read a lot of New Testament, read about Jesus' life, is there's one section up here early in the chapter around verse 5. It says that Jonah was asleep in the bow of the ship. If you think later on in the New Testament, there's a few times that Jesus is on a boat in a storm and he's asleep. And you talk about having this peace in the storm. You know, it's a great way to look at how Christ lived. He had this peace in the midst of the storm. Everybody's running around the ship like crazy, throwing stuff off the side of the ship. I don't know what we're going to do. We're all going to die. But we should walk in this place that we have such peace, that we know God's will for our lives. We know His nature, I think, is really what I'm looking for. We know God's nature. Jonah, and we'll find out here in a minute, knew God's nature very, very well. He never was too worried about the storm. We should be affected, but not scared. He was asleep. Jesus was asleep in the ship. Jonah was asleep in the ship. It's kind of a cool thing. We'll see as we, what the last verse that we talked about, he was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days and three nights before he rose and conquered death, hell, and the grave. So there's a mirror image there, mirror of what happened. And it's kind of foretelling the true prophet that's going to come, Jesus Christ that's going to come, that's going to be similar to this. You're going to be down in this grave for 3 days, three nights, and all that stuff. Then you're going to come back up. Jonah comes back up. And then also, you have the whole element of bringing the gospel, the good news, repentance is what he's doing. That's obviously Jesus' goal and everything was to allow people to repent of their sins and be forgiven. So, some cool stuff ties the New Testament in with the Old Testament. Always look for that. I think it's important to find when you're, just keeps everything in balance when you're reading stuff. All right, so chapter 2. This is the bulk of what I want to talk about tonight. In chapter 2, what happens, and I won't read the whole thing, but it says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, and he said, and I'll just read a few, you get the gist of what he's talking about. He says, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the sea, and the current swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. And I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look on you again. And he goes through and he talks about how awesome God is and how God saved him. He is so thankful. So, we're inside the belly of, we always think it's a whale because this makes sense. It'd be a whale, whatever this giant fish was. This thing swallowed him. So he's inside of it, alive, able to breathe, hanging out inside this fish. Okay? And at this place in his life, he's thankful. He is literally praising God and thanking God for saving him. But you have to remember, he's in the middle of the ocean, inside of a fish, which is not something you normally do. I mean, this is kind of scary. I mean, you're inside of a fish thinking, okay, you know, I've got too many cartoons of people inside of whales. I'm thinking of Finding Nemo now. You know, they were inside there. Same thing, but they're inside this whale. And he's trying to, he's got to be trying to figure out how this is going to end. I mean, how is this going to work out? I'm inside this fish. All he's thinking about is the thing that's happening right now is I was drowning and I just got swallowed by a fish and now I'm saved and I'm okay right now. Right now, this very second, I have something to be thankful for right now. I'm not worried about what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. I'm not worried about what's happening tomorrow. Right now, this very second, I have something to be thankful for. I'm breathing oxygen. I am not at the bottom of the ocean with seaweed wrapped around my neck, dead. God has saved me. Is it how I wanted to be saved? Maybe not. But God has saved him. This whole chapter, the chapter 2, is this prayer of thanksgiving to God. And he says at the end, what I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. In verse 10, it says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. How we react in the fish will determine our destination. All right? That's what God was really, I really feel like was showing me in this story, is the fact that sometimes we're in circumstances that we don't like. Guys, y'all are in a place that you, 10 years ago, I promise you weren't thinking, hey, that'd be cool to go hang out at the Blake house. That'd be awesome. I want to do that. I think I'm going to make plans and plan my life around that. None of you are doing that. I promise you. I know that. You're inside of a whale right now. You're inside of a whale, and it's taking you where you need to go. But your attitude while you're inside the whale will determine your ultimate destination. Because you guys can be thankful that God saved you from whatever thing that was after you. Or you can be mad because, man, I'm having to do this thing. I'm having to hang out with all these dudes. I have to go listen to this guy Wednesday night and all this stuff. You can be upset about it. It will directly determine your destination. Because guys get out of this program and they do awesome, and guys get out of this program and they don't. And it's all about how they interacted when they were inside of it. Church, whatever you're in some kind of whale, you're in some kind of movement, something that's happening in your life that's taking you somewhere. You may have caused it. But that does not mean God cannot direct its path. Jonah caused this to happen. He could have easily walked down to Nineveh and done the deal. But he didn't. He said, I'm going to go the other direction. I'm going to do my own thing. God said, okay, you're going to do your own thing. Well, next thing you know, I'm inside the belly of a fish. Had he been angry, I don't think he would have gotten spit out in dry land, personally. Because you see what happens. He says this prayer, and this is his heart. Once his heart turns, then in verse 10, the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. It may have taken him 3 days and three nights to get to that place. We don't know what he said the first day. We don't. And that's okay. He may have been upset. That may be why he was in there for 3 days. If he had had this attitude 10 minutes in, it might have been a lot shorter trip, but he didn't do it. 3 days, three nights, he was in this. Easy to say, hard to do. Be thankful for where you're at right now. Be thankful for where God has you right now, for whatever He's brought you out of right now. But right now may stink a little bit. It may be dark. It may be slimy. It may be an unknown thing. But be thankful, because you know one thing. Jonah knew for one thing for sure, is God was with him. God was directing the path of a fish. So God was with him. Only after he had proper understanding of God and he was thankful, you know, he could have been being digested by this fish. He don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's got to be nasty in there. This really happened. See, we try to glamorize it, you know, with Finding Nemo. But no, he was inside of a fish that stunk, and like, he didn't have a flashlight, okay? I don't think there was any light in there. It's not like you flipped the lights on or anything. It was spooky stuff. So I promise you, whatever we're walking through, it's going to be comparable, okay? Now, a big key to this thing is he never prayed in this prayer. He never said, God, get me out of this fish. He didn't say that. He never said in there, God, I need you to deliver me from this fish that I'm in. What he said was basically, God, I don't know what's next, but I am thankful for where I am right now. That is the key, guys. That's the big key that I pulled from this tonight, is we want to move to that next level with God. We want to go to that next place with God. We always do. We should. You should want to move to that next place, that deeper understanding of God, that I hear your voice. What should I do next? That's huge. We should want that. How do we do that? We're thankful for where he's got us right now. Whether it's one day, 3 days, three nights, 3 years, wherever that may be, we have to be thankful for where we're at. Know that he loves us. And I think once we get that, then he'll let us move on. So I asked the question, what is the fish you are in? That's how I wrote it out. Think about where your life is. It can be easy. I can say, oh, you're in the Blake House. That's not where you want to be. But there's other things that may be going on in your life. Church, there's other things going on in our life that, you know, it's taking us one direction or another. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's a relationship with this person. Maybe it's, you know, where you're at church. You go to church here. You know, this could be a well that God uses to move you in the right direction. I mean, it is what it is. So see where God's got you. But remember that you may be responsible for the type of transportation to your destination. So, had Jonah done what God wanted him to do, he might have gone and rented a nice chariot and rode down to Nineveh, rolled up in style, something really nice, you know, some good-looking wheels on it, maybe jacked up a little bit, top comes off, I don't know. He could have rolled up in something really cool. But he didn't do that. He said, I'm not going to do it God's way. Sometimes God will give you a nice ride. Sometimes God will give you a smooth deal to get you there. And it's like we talked about that turbulence. God's going to get you there if it's his will to get you there. But you get to choose how you get there a lot of times. Not all the time. But a lot of times we get to choose how we get there. So one prophet might have been rolling up in Nineveh down there on a nice chariot. And you know what, Jonah, he comes and says, yeah, I got here in a whale. In a whale. Like, what kind of ride's that? But he chose it. Don't be upset about that. Be excited that God said, hey, you're an idiot. I know you're an idiot, but I love you, and I'm going to get you there. I'm going to get you there regardless. A pure heart in God's will is what's going to get you there. Sometimes it takes longer when we make our own decisions. A huge part of the Old Testament, a huge part of the Christian story, is the children of Israel. They were in captivity in Egypt, and Moses comes and brings them out, and you have all the plagues and everything. And they could have easily, how many, it was like a three-day journey, I think, to get to the Promised Land, and all reality, and it took them 40 years because they made their own decisions, and they bucked God, and they didn't do it the way God wanted it done. And so God said, that's fine, if you want to do it that way, but you're doing it the hard way. So be in tune with God and listen to Him. And sometimes these things, they'll come a lot easier if we just do it His way. At the end of the day, He just wants you there. You know you got talking to this because it's you're the one that does it all.
He wasn't saying, God, get me out of this situation. But we don't know what he was saying for those first couple of days. That may have been very exactly what he was saying. But God knew he was doing something in him, working something in him, changing something in him, trying to teach him something. So it wasn't until his heart changed, his mind changed, and his perception changed about his situation. When that happened is when God allowed the fish to spit him out. So you may be in your situation a little bit longer until God can teach you what he's trying to teach you or change what he's trying to change, change your heart or your mindset or whatever. Sometimes that's on us. Sometimes I'm stubborn, so it takes a little bit longer for God to teach me what he's trying to teach me. So a lot of times I want to, you know, the easy way out is the escape mentality. God, get me out of this, you know. Well, he could, but he probably won't because he's going to do something in that situation to teach you something or change something about you.
Very good point. Yeah, and I think it was still his desire to get out. He didn't want to stay in there. You're exactly right. That's okay to want out of a bad situation. I mean, you guys don't want to stay in the Blake House forever, man. It's not like, yeah, man, I want to sit now. No, that's not the point. That's okay, but it's like Cindy said, it's your heart. Where's your heart at in this situation? Once you become thankful, once you recognize God is who he is and is doing this because he loves you, not because he's punishing you, that's when there's a shift. And God's like, okay, now I'll give you the desire of your heart, which in this situation would be to get out of this fish for sure. So what happens then? In chapter 3, this is only four chapters, this is just telling his story. In chapter 3, you find out that he does what God tells him to do. He goes to the city of Nineveh. He tells them that God's wrath is coming in so many days if they don't, you know, repent and everything. And guess what? They listen to him. They're like, oh, no, we don't want this to happen. So they repent and they sit in ashes and do all that repentant stuff that they did in those days to show that they truly were sorry. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. And then he proclaimed to Nineveh that, you know, nobody's going to eat or drink until this thing turns and everything. So basically what happens is just what God said that he wanted to do is he saves the people of Nineveh for now. Later on in history, it goes south for them. But for now, for this season, they listened to Jonah and, you know, they were saved. And it says in verse 10 of chapter 3, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. So, Jonah does the thing that God called him to do. Finally, he does it after he gets spit out and, you know, then finishes his journey and everything else. He finally does what God's called him to do. God gets the result that he intended to get, which was the salvation of these people for this time. Then this guy who just had this awesome, amazing attitude inside of a whale completely flips on us. It's almost like he's just like me, and one minute he's doing the right thing, and the next minute he's doing the wrong thing. One minute he's got the right posture to God, and the next minute he has the wrong posture to God. That's us, guys. It's so easy to happen. It's so easy to go from thanksgiving to ungratefulness. We do it in such a hurry. We have to guard against that. So, first few verses in chapter 4, this is Jonah. This is what he says. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God. You're slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. He knows God's nature. He knows it better than a lot. He's so in tune with who God is compared to, you know, a lot of people's understanding in this time frame. He says, you know, you're this God. I mean, you're slow to anger. You're abounding in love. I mean, he describes God perfectly about who he is and his love. But it makes him mad because he hates these people so much. It's so against his will that he still hasn't gotten over it. He still, after this awesome attitude that we just saw in chapter 2 where he's sitting in the belly of this fish, he had this awesome attitude. He's like, God, you are so good. You love me so much. This guy, the same prophet, just a switch flips in him. He's like, God, just kill me. I can't stand that you're being so good to these people. It's amazing, isn't it? Are we like that to other people? Are we like that? You know, is there any, maybe you don't want anybody to die. I don't think anybody's to that point, hopefully. But, you know this person that you've been jealous of or whatever, and something good happens to them. You're like, God, why'd you do that? I mean, we can get so many jacked up, messed up human emotions that we have to constantly fight. I promise you, Bill Johnson fights crazy, jacked up stuff too. He's a human being. So I say that to say, don't beat yourself up too bad. This great prophet had the same conflictions that we have, the same problems that we have as far as staying focused on God. Jonah ends in a place that is not grateful for toward God. God has to teach him a lesson. So what happens is, just real quick, we only got about 10 minutes left, but Jonah basically, he's mad at God after he says that. He's like, God, you're so good. I can't stand that you're so good. That's basically what he said. And so he goes and he's just mad. He goes, sets him up a little shelter outside of Nineveh, and he just sits there, and he's going to watch what happens. Because I think in the back of his mind, he's still hoping that God's going to, you know, strike it down or something. So he's just sitting there watching what happens, and it's out in the desert, and it's arid, and it's hot and stuff, so it's got a little shelter. So God's going to teach him a lesson. And God makes this plant grow up, this big plant with big leaves or whatever, that shades him. Overnight, it grows up. The next day, Jonah's got all this great shade. He's like, man, this is it. This is cool. I mean, God sent this plant for me, and I'm nice and cool. I can sit here and watch what's going to happen in Nineveh. And then God sends a worm. God sends a worm. God sent a storm. Remember, he'll send turbulence if he needs turbulence to change you. He'll send a worm to eat the plant. So he sends a worm that eats this plant up. This must have been some kind of worm, is all I can say. It says only one worm, so I don't know. It's really big. But he eats this plant up. And that's not odd, though. We just got swallowed by fish. So, I mean, you know, that's probably, Joe's like, okay, that's cool, a 10-foot worm, whatever. But he eats this worm, and Jonah gets so angry with God. He's like, you know, you took this away from me. And God uses this as a lesson. He says, you care about this plant that grew up overnight and died overnight, that you invested absolutely nothing in, that you just reaped some rewards from it. You care so much about that, yet you expect me not to care about the people of Nineveh. And he was teaching this prophet, this great prophet, a lesson of, I care about people. I love people. I love people who commit sin. That's who I am. That's what I do. I created these people because I want to love them. I want them to love me, but I want to love them. And I want them to feel my love. And it breaks my heart that they've gotten in this situation. So I love them. So you're going to get mad about a plant, but yet you don't care about these people. So Jonah ends in this weird place, and that's it. This is what it says. This is how it ends, which also proves that God likes hamburgers. Listen to this. But Nineveh has no more. This is God talking to Jonah. Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about the great city? I find it odd that it says, and they had many cattle as well. I mean, that's where I get that he's interested in the cattle. He says, should I not care about them? And that's how the story ends. That's it. That's all we hear of Jonah. Until in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 42. And we were talking about tying Jesus in. And this is where he's tied in. Then some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said to him, they're talking to Jesus now, Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. And he answered, A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here. That's the next time you hear about him. And Jesus is referring to him being, like we said earlier, him being in the belly of the fish for 3 days. He's telling and prophesying about himself that I will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. So it ends on an odd note, but I think it's appropriate for humanity because we go from this awesome place with God to we can be up here and we can have an awesome church service and literally on our way home the wheels fall off and we're mad at somebody about something. And you're like, gosh, God can't use me. God can't love me. I guess that's the end of my story. No, it's not the end of your story because one day Jesus is going to use you as an example for something. Don't think that God's going to give up on you just because you mess up one time. He loved Jonah. He loved the people of Nineveh. He loves us today. He loves you guys. That's who he is. I mean, God is love. So, in closing, your circumstance may seem dark, lonely. The place you're in may really stink, literally stink. I mean, if you're in the side of a fish, it's going to stink, but it may be this place is just not comfortable. But remember that God is in the midst of it because God does not leave you or forsake you. He doesn't leave you. He may not want to be there with you, and he may be like, brother, this stinks. Why'd you bring us here? This is not where I want to be. It stinks, but I'm not leaving you. He doesn't leave you. No matter how bad it stinks, no matter where it's at, David says in Psalms, if I go and make my bed in the pit of hell, there you will be with me. It doesn't get any lower, guys. Jesus has been there. Jesus has walked through every bit of it. He's walked through your stink. He's not scared of it. He's not scared of what fish you're in. He's not scared of any of it. He's not going to leave you. The sooner we realize that, the sooner we can get to our destination. The sooner we can get to the next phase of where we're supposed to be. The sooner you guys say, God, thank you for putting me here right now. I'm thankful that I'm here and not somewhere else. Thankful that I'm not dead. I'm thankful that you love me enough to save me, redeem me, and put me in a place where I can get better. That's for us too, church. In a place where I can get better. In a place where I can get better. Thank you for that. Once we get that, once we figure that out, it opens so many options. It opens up, okay, I'm going to spit you out of this. But the job wasn't over. He didn't spit him out in Nineveh. Doesn't say that. Says he spit him out. And he still had to make a choice. Jonah made the choice to finish the journey to Nineveh. You will have a choice, guys. When this thing spits you out, you got a choice. And you can try to get back on a ship to Joppa, or you can go to Nineveh where God's called you to be and do what you're called to do. It's all about our attitude, where we're at. It's all about our posture before God. Are we thankful? Are we resentful? What are we? So in life, we have to constantly, constantly examine ourselves. You know, when you get saved, it's awesome. And I've got Jesus in my heart now, but there's a decision you make every morning when you wake up. Am I going to follow him today? It says you have to pick up your cross daily. You decide every day. Not your salvation is going to one day have it and not have it. That's not what I'm saying. But we choose the path that we take every day on that road. God still loves you. He cares about you. No matter where you're at, Think about the fish that you're in. Think about where it's taking you. Don't be upset if you caused it to be not as nice as you wanted it to be. But know that He loves you. Know that He's going to be with you. And that's kind of an overview of Jonah. There's a lot of stuff you can pull from it if you want to read the whole thing, guys, or anybody. And God will show you something completely different. That's what's so awesome about the Word. And I say it every time I get up here, but every time you open the Word, God can show you something different. And you weren't wrong before. It's just it's different for a different day. It's amazing what God can show you in the Word. So, Cindy, if you want to start some music. If you guys want to come down, if you need to give God your attitude, give God your circumstances, whatever you need to do, if you need to do that, if you need to take communion, do that. Make peace with God about where you're at in your life. And we're all in different places. And a lot of us are always thinking we want to get to that next place. Maybe a place that God's put in your heart. But how are you going to get there? So, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God, for Your Word. We thank You for the story of Jonah and this fish that You sent. And God, we know that You send things in our life to direct us and to swallow us and to take us where You want us to be, Heavenly Father. And God, I pray that we find peace with You, and God, that we are thankful that You care about us, God. You wouldn't do it. You would not have sent a fish. You would not have sent a circumstance if You didn't care, if You didn't love us, God. I pray that we understand that, Heavenly Father. We accept that, and we find thankfulness, true thankfulness for who You are and Your love for us. It's in Jesus' name I pray.